So we're in the middle of Reish Ayin Vav. Just a few touch-ups. So Reish Ayin Vav Sifkatan Chaf. Hey, so we spoke out that the Mishnah Berurah there says that if there's a tear in the Erev, right, the Rambam says that there's an itter. The itter says that you can ask a guy to even a melacha daraisa b'makom any mitzvah. The Rambam says we don't paskin like the itter. Rov poskim argue on him unless it's a tzarach gadol. Mishnah Berurah brings down from the shlach even the tzarach gadol. One should not rely on the itter. But Mishnah Berurah brings down when it comes to a michshol derabim, like there's a tear in the erev and they need someone to fix it with an itter daraisa, you can ask a guy to do so. Then he throws out the word mitzvah derabim, and that's a big machlokes haposkim if mitzvah derabim does or does not allow for asking a guy to do a malacha d'oraisa. Okay, that's the touch up from the end of Sif Beis. Then yesterday we did Sif Gimel. So the Rama over there says that you can ask a guy to carry if the candle was lit before Shabbos, you can ask him to carry the candle because it's only tiltul muksa. And the Mishnah Berurah basically said from the Magen Avraham that there's a way for you to do it yourself. So we pointed out, okay, we have to get to the details when we get to Siman Shin Yud Aleph, but there's a way to do it yourself, whether it's tiltul min hatzad or tiltul begufo, exactly what those things are, we will discuss when we get there. Bottom line over there is that asking a guy to move a candle, move something muksa, is only mutter when you want, Mishnah Berurah points out from the Prima Gadim, if you want the gufa object or you need the place, but not because you're afraid that it's going to get damaged. But if it is something that is very expensive, so then since muksa is derabanan, Amir al-Akam is derabanan, it's a double derabanan, it's called shvus de shvus. And a double derabana, shvus to shvus, is going to be mutter in certain cases, and one of them would be a hefse meruba. So if you have your $1,000 camera, and it's in a place where you're afraid it's going to get rained on, or the kids are going to break it, whatever it is, you can ask a guy to move it to a safer place, because it's a shvus to shvus, the Amir la'akim is a shvus, moving muks is a shvus, but makom hefse meruba. Now we're up to Sif Hey. Sif Hey is very important. The Shulchan Aruch brings down Ba'aratza. So Reish Ayin Vav has been Amir La'akum. Again, Amir La'akum is it's a little bit tough to learn Amir La'akum because it's spread. It's not in one place. It's spread out. It's mamish the beginning of Chelek Gimel, the end of Chelek Gimel, the middle of Chelek Gimel. So this is part of the middle of Chelek Gimel. So here, the Shulchan Aruch brings down from the Rishonim, Ba'aratzos Karos, in cold countries, like Poland. Mutter le'en yudi lasos madura b'shel haketanim. You're allowed to ask a guy to light the fireplace for the children. Okay, to light the fireplace, to provide heat. And once you're doing it for the children for whom you're allowed to ask him to do it, we'll soon see why. So then the adults can also benefit from the heat. If it's really freezing cold, you can even ask the guy to do it for the adults. Why? It's a shvus. Why is it mutter? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Shakol Cholim Eitzel HaKor. Everyone is considered to be sick when it comes to the cold. And therefore, and we already spoke out in the past, that one of the exceptions where Amir La'akim is mutter, even to ask the guy to do something that's Asa Min HaTorah, is by a Chole, what we call a Chole She'im Bo Sakana. It means a person who is bedridden or he's in a tremendous amount of pain. So children are also, the discussion of what age is called a child, but children in general, their needs are considered, they're considered to be cholim, because they're very fragile and delicate and gentle. And when it comes to cold, so people are also considered to be cholim if it's very, very cold. Now, I saw some the song, I'm like, what does it mean, very cold? So I think, to me, in my humble opinion, what makes the most sense, I think I saw the name of the Aruch HaShulchan. Oh, here it is. He said it depends on the people, you know, like if you have elder parents who are in their 70s, all of a sudden they're always cold. So, okay, so I assume that everything you just put on a sweater. But, you know, if it's colder than that, so, you know, maybe that's what it's talking about. It depends on the individual. Then the Shulchan Aruch concludes, "V'loka osam shenogin hetter afal pi she'ena kor gadol b'yamahu." Not like people who just think it's a blanket hetter and you're allowed to ask the guy to turn on the heat. You're not allowed to ask the guy to turn on the heat unless it's really, really cold and there's children there, or perhaps there's elderly people for whom the cold is whatever. And if it's freezing cold, so then everybody's considered to be a chola, and then you would be allowed to ask the guy straight out to turn on the heat. Now, the poskim, the contemporary poskim, ask the million-dollar question. What if it's really hot? Can you ask the guy to turn on the air conditioner? So, a lot of the svarim bring down... There's a Ramosha. Ramosha flat-out says it's aser. It's considered a hana. It's a direct benefit. And chazal will make it by cold. Cold is... everyone's considered to be a chola. By cold, cold leads to getting sick. Heat does not necessarily. Heat does not. It's chazal said by cold, not by heat, and therefore the heter is by turning on the heat, not turning on the air conditioning. That's the question. A lot of poskim bring down the Minchas Yitzchak. He was the head of the Eid HaRedis in Yerushalayim, Chaim Weiss. And he brings down, the Tosas brings down Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi says that one, it should. It's better to daven that to be saved from the heat than to be saved from the cold. And it makes sense, because you can always put on another sweater. You always put on another coat. But when it's hot, there's nothing you can do. You're just hot. There's only so much clothes you can take off, and you're still going to be hot. So based on that Yerushalmi, which is brought down by Tosis and Baba Basra, he wants to say, just like everyone is cholim by cold, they're also cholim by heat. The poskim at this year, Ramosha will say, no, it doesn't say you're a chol, it just says it's uncomfortable. Uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's a chol. Then they bring down a levush. It could be he brings down a levush. That since people are one of the reasons mutter over here, because when you're cold, you turn on the heat. So on Shabbos, so that's something that's kind of necessary, it's expected. So then it's something you can ask the guy to do on Shabbos. So he wants to say, oh, so nowadays, where we're all used to fans and air conditioning, so it's also part of the same idea. Then the Minchas Yitzchak wants to bring down that turning on these machines, electrical appliances and machines, is only an Issa Derabanan, not like the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish holds that every time you turn a machine on and off, you create or uncreate a circuit, and that is Bona Min HaTorah. It's an Issa Deraisa. Meshulam Zalman and others, and rather the Minchas Yitzchak, they hold that, no, when you turn a light, the old-fashioned incandescent bulbs, that and it didn't fire, like the Chaim Oza used to make Havdalah on a bulb, just to make the point that this is fire. Okay, so fire is when you have a fire, but when you have machines that don't create a fire, it's not a light, something else, so then the other say it's only Midrabanan. It's only Midrabanan, so then we have the head there, it's a double Durabanan, which will be Mutter in cases of extreme necessity. So, for all these reasons, the Minchas Yitzchak is Mekel, that you can tell the guy to turn on the air conditioner on Shabbos. Ramosha disagreed. It's a Machlokes HaPoskim, one whose Mekel definitely has on whom to rely. Okay, that concludes Reish Ayin Vav. Not really, because Reish Ayin Vav is like kind of infinite. You can keep going. Oh, in the discussion of mitzvah, you're allowed to ask God to do something for mitzvah derabim. Let's say the light's out in shul, you can't learn. You can ask God. Can you ask God to turn the light in your house? For sure, you can. Cannot in your house. You cannot in shul. Right? People want to learn. It's a shiur Friday night. It's a mitzvah derabim. So Rav Nemzal is very opposed. I think Rosh Hashanah was against. I assume Rosh Hashanah was against. That's why Rav Nemzal was very opposed. And they bring down their Ramosha with Mako. And that's a whole discussion. And then there's a famous story in Lakewood where the lights went out Friday night and Avraham Cutler asked the guy to turn it back on. So they bring that story down in Mitzvah Drabim. So that's the thing. So, so the Ramosha, who's machmir by the air conditioner in a private house, perhaps he'd be making a shul if it was mamish unbearable and you couldn't, you couldn't dive in there. I don't know, some people seem to dive in these broiling hot shuls. I don't know how they do it. I'm an instance. Okay, Reish Ayin Zion. Different topic altogether. Reish Ayin Zion is built off of a Gemara in Shabbos. And Daf Kuf Chaf on the base. Gemara brings a brisa. Ner Shalcharei Hadelet. If you have a candle behind the door, what that means we'll soon see is three opinions. Poseach v'noal kedarko, you can open and close it normally. If the light goes out, if the candle goes out, it goes out. Then the Gemara says, Layat ala Rav. Rav put a curse on someone who would do such a thing. The Gemara wants to know, why did Rav put a curse? So there's a famous machlokes reader, Reb Shimon. If you have a davar shein miskavin, I do something, and then there's a byproduct that happens by itself. So Reb Shimon says that's mutter, Reb Yehuda says it's also. So we passing like Reb Shimon. So the Gemara wants to know, wait a second. So Rav is going to curse someone who's somech on Reb Shimon because he holds like Reb Yehuda, he's machmir. That doesn't make sense. That can't be. Can't be that Rav is going to put a curse on someone who follows Shitas Reb Shimon, even if he follows Shitas Reb Yehuda. Then the Gemara says, no, over here it's a psik reisha. If it's for sure going to happen, then even Reb Shimon agrees that it's aser. Now, I don't know. So what did the Tana hold? I don't know. Okay, then the Gemara continues, but I think for that's Sif Beis. So we're just going to do Sif Aleph. Okay. What does it mean, the Ner She'acharei HaDelet? The Gemara says, the Brisa says, Ner She'acharei HaDelet. You can open the door. So, I didn't see it in Rashi on our page, but the Rosh brings down, I think the Rosh brings down three sheets, maybe we need two. Tosis on the page gives a third opinion. Rashi, right there on the Rosh, says like this. The Ner is near the door. And the fear is, you open the door, in comes a wind, and out goes your candle. That's Rashi. The Rach says that the Ner is attached to the wall, next to where the door opens. So every time you slam the door open and close, which some people tend to do, so the whole wall shakes. And their walls were not as strong as our walls, I assume. And therefore, the candle can go out. And the third opinion is the Ri. And the Ri says is that the Ner is on the door itself. And therefore, every time you open and close the door, the oil in the candle is swishing back and forth. And as we've said already a number of times, when you put the oil closer to the wick, it's Mavir Eish, halachically. And when you move it further away, it's considered Kibui. And therefore, it's Asad. Okay, so when the Brisa says the Ner, that's Acharei Adelet, you can open the door carefully. You can open the door and close the door regularly, and if it goes out, it goes out. And Rav says, nothing doing, you can't do it, it's sure going to happen. What's the case? Rashi says, the candle's near the door, you open the door, in comes the wind, and blows out the candle. The Rav says, no, it's kind of attached to the wall, and slamming doors is going to cause the Ner to go out. And the Ri says that the candle's attached to the door, and it's not that the Ner is really going to go out, but halachically it's going to go out, because every time the oil swishes back and forth, it's a problem. The Beis Yosef brings down, the Tur, when he brings down the sugya, he brings down all three opinions, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch himself. He said, the Tur didn't exactly know how to paskin, so he paskin like all three. All three are going to be Asa, following Shitas Rav.
So people light on the table, if the table moves around a bit, it's a problem.
Okay, let's see. Then they bring, what's the nafkamina between the different reasons? So, according to the third opinion, right, that the oil is going to swish back and forth. So if you have a wax candle, now, I mean, I don't know what they did, 2,000 years ago. It's hard to believe that someone would put a candle on the door. Just like, forget about the oil swishing back and forth. I would think it would just go right out. Or maybe it was enclosed in a glass. Maybe that makes more sense. It's closing the glass. So you still have a problem with the oil, but the candle itself is not going out. Okay, good. That makes sense. Thank you very much. So according to the Ri, so if it's a wax candle, there's no problem with oil swishing. So then according to the Ri, that would be mutter. And according to Rashi, he should only be asked to open the door, because then the wind's going to come in. But to close the door should be okay. That's not bringing in the wind. And according to the Rach, where it's on the wall and the wall is going to shake and put out the candle, so if you open and close doors gently, it should also be fine. This is the Beis Yosef goes with all three opinions, and you know, according to this opinion, according to that opinion, not convenience. Okay, then there's another discussion here. I don't know. We won't go through exactly yet. The other discussion is, according to the that same Tosis that says the candles attached to the door, are there any muksa ramifications of having a candle, which is muksa, attached to the door? Right? We know I can't move a candle on Shabbos. If I leave a candle on the table and only thing on the table now is a basis, I left it there on purpose, the whole Shabbos I cannot move the table. So what is there any halachic significance, muksa significance to having a candle attached to a door? But put that sugya on the side. I hope we'll have time. So let's do Reish Ayin Zayin Aleph. Shelo ligrom kibui haner. Ner shemunach acharei hadelet. There's a candle behind the door. Like Rashi says. Aser liftoach hadelet kedarko. You can't open the door in the normal way. Why? Shamich abenu haruach. Because maybe the wind will come in and then blow it out. I can close the door because that's just preventing the wind from coming and blowing it out. That's Shitas Rashi. Continues the Ramah. Same thing with a window. The door opens in, and behind, near the door, munach babai is near dolog. There is a lit candle. So we had this whole Hanukkah. Were you in my house this Hanukkah at all? So every year is a balagan. Leinhard has a lot of menorahs, and actually ruined something that my mother-in-law gave my wife last year with the oil, and got in trouble. So my wife said, okay, we're bringing in a table from the outside. We have two people light outside the front door, two people light in the window, and then the rest are just lighting on a table from that we brought inside, covered with foil, in the living room. Anyway, we don't have so much Pesumi Nisa, and we don't have windowsills in this country, and anyway, our windows don't really face anywhere. Anyway, so a bunch of people lit on this table. So the table is between the door and the window, is by the new bookcase. Well, it's not a new bookcase anymore. Between the merpeset door and the window. So all Friday night, I'm all like anxious, you know. Oh, we can't open the window. We can't open the window. Open the door. Can't open the door. You know, and of course, it depends what other doors are open. You have a cross breeze, and what's going to be with the candles. So here he says, "Dafkuchu nege psichas adalas mamish the karov adal." Only if it's mamish in front of the door. This was on the side of the. This was actually a much better place. If it's in front of the door and near the door, the inyan shekisha yipatach adal. When the door opens, yuchal hikabos. They ruach rashi b'chutz. The wind outside is going to blow out the candle. Umachikos of kedarko, and when the Ramah added this kedarko, you can't open the door kedarko. I am a mongin of Ram. Shikos of the Tosafer. The Ramah holds a mistake. It belongs somewhere else. Dafilumu poteach adela benachas. Because even if you open up the door carefully, what does it matter? There's wind coming from outside. There's nothing to do with how you open the door. Mikomakum a ruach ba mi bachutz minashev. Also, the wind's going to come in and blow it out. V'chein sos mekam achron. Mishra sivkat on gimel haruach. I am among the Ram. Tafilim ain't a ruach when I shabbat. Let's see, right now, okay, I'm outside, there's no wind. I want to open up the door and go inside. So that's not good enough. Gam king yesh lasa. Why the chorega verega, ruach menashe? Because the wind can come at any second. While you open the door, boom, there comes the wind, and you're finished. The ef shalav chimazan. You don't know when the wind is going to come. However, concludes the Mishnah Berurah. The yesh mekilim bazeh. So b'shas tzchak, he says he thinks you could be mekel. Kishe potech adela benachas la'ala, to open the door very carefully. Shelo yigum adela gufa l'ruach sheyavos. So you have two things. One is the wind coming from outside, and the other is the wind that's created by opening up a door, which is enough to blow out a candle. So first he says also. Then he says yesh mekilin, and he has some sort of compromise. Basically, says it's okay if you gently open the door, so you don't have to worry about the door itself. Look at the bi'alocha, dibar maskel haruach. I have a mission. Rav Moshe Kasavti Diyesh Mekilin. Who El Yerab of Mati Yehuda Sheskim Al Divrei Maharil VaRamash Shesovrim Sham. They hold the Kishanu Rowin Shein Ruach. When you're outside, there's no wind. Right now, there's no wind. Ain Lachush. You don't have to worry that the second you open the door, all of a sudden it's going to come a wind. Sheinah Shebosu Rega Ruach Mibachutz. But that same El Yerab and Mati Yehuda were machner for a different reason. Why? The psichas hadels gufa gorim shavai de zeruah. Oh, the door itself creates a wind. Right? Not a sliding door. The opening doors. And therefore, it says the Bir Alach, we have a compromise. The yesh lachem as a kishe poseh hadels benachas laat laat. So, according to the shitas, there are enough shitas that I don't have to worry that the wind is going to come from outside. Right now, there's no wind. It's not windy. I don't have to worry about it. But I still have to worry about the wind created by my opening the door, so that you open up very gently, and then it'll be okay. Now, what if I open a door, and I leave it open, and then comes the wind 2 minutes later? So, the issue pointed out, that's fine. Because we're only talking about the wind that you're letting in this second. The wind that comes later is not mitaches to you. You left it open and now comes the wind. What does it do to me? I opened the door 2 minutes ago. And he says, called koch rishon. Koch rishon, right when I do it, is considered my ma'is. What happens later has nothing to do with me. Okay, in Deir Show, no, footnote 4, maybe this is what you're referring to. What about a little bit of wind? It doesn't blow out the candle, but the candle sways, it goes like this, it goes like that. What's the significance of that? So, the issue brings down from Shlomo Zalman, Shmuel Shabbos Gilchasa, that the fact that the flame changes shapes is no halachic significance. That's going to be okay. He says, similarly, we also have this problem. We have it sometimes on Shabbos, more on Hanukkah than on Shabbos. Every time you walk by the candles, I mean, if you run by, your mamash can put it out. Otherwise, you don't put it out, but the candles are moving. Is that a problem? So he says, that's okay. He says, even if it's for sure going to happen, it's going to move around, that's okay. Because the fire is not considered to be getting larger or smaller. It's just changing form, and that's okay. And he says, similarly, we discussed this a little bit, maybe Reish Nun Gimel, on Shabbos, let's say I left on the fire, on the gas, and I want to put on a blech on Shabbos. So if the blech is going to become red hot, which they don't, so then that's Asur Min HaTorah, it's considered Bishul of the Matachet, the metal. And there's a Chazon Ish that holds, even if it doesn't get red hot, but if it does get hot, which it does, he holds it's a problem, it's like a Chatzi Shir, but the other poskim are Makeh. Now, but the other one could put on a blech. So here, I never thought of this before, but here he's saying, what about the fact that the fire is up, and now you put on a blech, and now the fire is going down? You just change the form of the fire. So that's okay. Like we keep saying, you're allowed to change the form of the fire. That's not considered to be doing anything significant. What?
I was asking about, we said, when you move the oil towards or away from the flame, it's either creating a bigger fire, or it's making
it. I don't know if it's halachically. I don't know if scientifically it's happening.
No, I'm talking about halacha.
Yeah.
So I was saying if the table, kids bump the table and stuff, the oil is going back and forth.
Right, yes. You shouldn't bump into the table. Right, agreed. Agreed. Are you saying like if someone lights with shemen on the Shabbos table, and it's a shaky Shabbos table? Yeah. I used to have one of those. The table's like a lulav.
Tilting is up.
I hear. You can't tilt. Right. That's a good point. So, just off the top of my head, if every time you touch the table, it's for sure going to move. Well, the poskim talk about it is theoretically possible for me to move an oil candle and not have the oil swish around. So, if that's possible, then certainly I can move a table. Table moves a little bit. The oil does not necessarily move around. If you know for sure, every time you touch the table, the oil for sure is going to move around, I would think that you're not allowed to touch that table. And maybe there's a hiddur to have the Shabbos candles mamish on the table, but it sounds like there you're losing more than you're gaining. if that's it. Otherwise, we say it's not. It's a davar shein miskaven. I don't want the thing to move, and it's not for sure going to happen. So that would be mitzvah. It's a davar shein miskaven. It's not a secretion. Not for sure going to happen. If it's for sure going to happen, then it's a big problem. Now it could be that meaning it's not going to happen when I sit there and I cut my chicken or whatever, but. You have 10 Labadika wild kids, and the table always ends up getting pushed along the way. I don't know. Okay, weiter in Shulchan Aruch. Reish, Ayin, Zayin, Adamar. The imu kavua b'kol. So this is the rach. Let's say the candle is attached to the wall. Shachrei adel after the door. Also liftoach hadelet ulunaalo kedako. You can't open and close the door regularly. Why? Shemati adel no keshilav utachabenu. Because maybe the door will slam into the candle itself and put out the candle. Assuming the candle's mom is right behind the door. Ela posev no benachas. Open it and close it gently. Okay. So here the lashon of the braisa is open and close. So they'd say according to the rach, if you're opening the door, boom, into the candle, and you're putting out the candle, what does that have to do with closing the door? So that's what Mishabur points out in Sifkat and Vav, that the Bim Regalim says, well, you can still slam a door, and if the candle is right on that wall, it's still relevant. If it's on the door itself, that the opening and closing makes the oil go to and from the candle, so then you cannot open and close the door because it's automatically having the oil move back and forth. But if it's a wax candle, so then we mutter, even though it's attached to the door. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick up the end over here. We'll get to the muksa aspects, and see how far we can get.